Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh and welcome to Ummah Radio. You are listening to the Tafsir class with myself, Abu Musab. Alright then, to continue, or actually to recap, in our last class, since the quality was not so good, we didn't do all that much in any case, so we'll just do a recap of what we had done. We were currently on page 27 of volume number 1 of Tafsir ibn Kathir, just starting Surah Al-Baqarah. We had actually done part of the first page, but since it's only a small piece, we can just redo it again. So, Bismillah walhamdulillahi wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. He starts the kitab, the chapter, he says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Alif Lam Mim, Thalika al-Kitab la rayba fihi hudan lil-muttaqeen. Alif Lam Mim, Thalika al-Kitab, that book, there is no doubt in it. It is a guidance for the people of taqwa. A rough translation. This particular ayah is translated, you get two different ways that the ayah can be translated. And the ulama have given differing opinions of which way is better from a linguistic perspective and, as you can say, from a meaning perspective as well. One way is to say, that book, there is no doubt in it. It is a guidance for the people of taqwa. While another way is to say that book, there is no doubt that it is a guidance for the people of taqwa. Same, may sound slight, the change, but anyway, that's the two ways that the ayah is normally read and obviously would be translated accordingly as well. So, that's with regards to the translation. Okay, yeah, in this tafsir, since it's the abridged version, so it doesn't go into too much detail with regards to that. So in this part here, you won't even notice it. It's not even mentioned. But in the actual original Tafsir ibn Kathir, then this is mentioned as well. But we're doing the abridged version, so that part is not mentioned at all. Any case, so he starts Alif Lam Mim. He says, اختلف المفسرون في الحروف المقطعة التي في أوائل السور. This words Alif Lam Mim, and so on and so forth, all the other ones, they are known as the Harufi Muqatta'a. Now, the Mufassirin, they have a difference of opinion as to what these words mean. He says, فَمِنْهُ مَنْ قَالَ هِيَ مِمَّا اسْتَأْثَرَ اللَّهُ بِعِلْمِهِ فَرَدُّ عِلْمُهَا إِلَى اللَّهِ وَلَمْ يُفَسِّرُهَا حَكَاهُ الْقُرْتُبِيُّ فِي تَفْسِيرِهِ. Some of the Mufassirin, they take the opinion, or rather they are of the opinion, that the knowledge of these ayat, like Alif Lam Mim, Yasin, Taha, Alif Lam Mim, Sad, Qaf, Sad, and the various other beginnings of the surahs like this, some Mufassirin, they are of the opinion that Allah alone knows the meaning of these words, so they leave the knowledge of that to Allah and they do not give it any interpretation. So for example, a very famous tafsir, Tafsir al-Jalalain of Imam Jalaluddin al-Mahalli and Imam Jalaluddin al-Suyuti rahimahumallah, you'll always notice they'll say, like for example, Alif Lam Mim, that they say, Allahu a'lamu bimuradihi, Allah knows best what its meaning is. So that's the one group. And this opinion has been related by Imam Al-Qurtubi rahimahullah in his tafsir. That's the one opinion. وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ فَسَّرَهَا وَاخْتَلَفَ هَؤُلَاءِ فِي مَعْنَاهَا. Then there's another group of Mufassirin who interpret these ayat and they have different opinions as to what the ayat mean. فَقَالَ بَعْضُهُمْ هِيَ أَسْمَاءُ السُّوَرِ قَالَ الزَّمَخْشَرِي وَعَلَيْهِ إِطْبَاقُ الْأَكْثَرِ. Some Mufassirun, they interpret this ayat, and they are of the opinion that this is the names of the surahs. So, for example, like this here would be Alif Lam Mim, so therefore this surah's name would be Alif Lam Mim. This is the one group of ulama. And Imam Zamakhshari say that most people of the Mufassirun who interpret it, they take this stance. وَقِيلَ هِيَ إِسْمٌ مِنْ أَسْمَاءِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى يَفْتَتِحُ بِهَا السُّورَ. Another opinion, and like I mentioned last time, when qila is used by Imam Ibn Kathir and many of the other ulama you'll find in their kitabs as well, when they use this word qila, then they use it to show that this is like a minority view or a weak view. So he says, wa qila, some ulama, they are of this opinion that It is the names, a name from the names of the of Allah, which Allah starts the surahs with. Okay, now with regards to Imam Az-Zamakhshari, Imam Zamakhshari, rahimahullah, he was one of the, as you can say, he's a famous mufassir. Unfortunately, he has his own tafsir, Tafsir Zamakhshari. But there's one problem with Imam Zamakhshari, rahimahullah, and that is that he was from the Mu'tazili. As you can say, he was a Mu'tazili. He belonged to the Mu'tazila. He had of their beliefs. Allah a'lam as to whether he left all the beliefs behind or not. The Mu'tazila were a group that came about during the time of the Salaf, the Khawarij, the Qadariya, the Jabriya, all these various deviant groups came about during that time. They had the Mu'tazila and their beliefs are wide and vast and varying, and they were basically like the main deviant group, where many other groups became splinter cells off. So the Mu'tazila and the Qadariya, those who rejected fate and predestination, they sprung from the Mu'tazila. The Jabriya, those who rejected free will, on the other hand, the other extreme, they also sprung from the Mu'tazila. The Mu'tazila were of the belief that the Quran was created. The Mu'tazila are of the belief that there is no punishment in the grave. And there are many, 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 many of these sort of things here that the Mu'tazila held as their beliefs. So, they are actually, to speak on the beliefs of the Mu'tazila, you need a whole session, the whole class, just to speak on them alone. So vast. They lived for a long time. Okay, at least they are extinct today, but they lived for a long time. So the muhaddithin, the ulama, they had written in depth about them. So, for example, if you take a kitab like the one of Imam Abdul Qahir al-Baghdadi, الفرق بين الفرق وبيان الفرقة الناجية منهم, that particular kitab of his, in there he discusses all the deviant sects, like he goes into detail on the various types of Shia sects, some Shia sects who are extinct today, and those who still exist today, and their kufr beliefs and things like this. For example, you have those Shias who believe that Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu was Allah. They say, like how Jesus came, according to the Christians, they believe Jesus came down and Jesus is God and Jesus is the Son of God, and it's all mixed up like that. This one particular group of Shia, they believe that Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu was actually Allah. So you had all these sort of weird, sick beliefs and of these various Shia groups and of course other deviant sects as well. So all of this is documented in this particular kitab of Imam Abdul Qahir al-Baghdadi. But in any case, those are to do with the deviant sects, and that is a whole long discussion all on its own. Imam Az-Zamakhshari, rahimahullah, the muhaddithi, rather the mufassirin and them, they put in the opinions like this of Imam Az-Zamakhshari, because there is, as you can say, there's no deviancy, and you have, like I say, the Mu'tazila were a very wide group. Not everybody held the same beliefs. It's like even today, amongst the Shia. The Shia themselves are a blanket ruling. They are all kafir. But there are so many different sects amongst the Shia. You have the Ithna Ashari, the 12 Imams. You have the Alawi Shias. You have the Boras and Ismailis and what all other sort of deviant groups kafir groups amongst them. But in any case, so amongst the, as you can say, the Mu'tazila, like I say, many groups splintered off from them. So not everybody held the same opinions. One group may have held this opinion, but then later on, the Mu'taz, they changed, and they started going more astray and bringing more deviant beliefs in, and things like that. So, anyhow, that's just a bit off topic. Coming back to where we were mentioning here, he mentions that some Mufassirin, they are of the opinion that Alif Lam Mim and all these other words, they are the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with which He starts and begins the surahs. So he says, فَكُلُّ حَرْفٍ مِّنْهَا دَلَّ عَلَىٰ إِسْمٍ مِّنْ أَسْمَائِهِ وَصِفَةٍ مِّنْ صِفَاتِهِ. So according to them, each letter stands for a particular name of Allah or a particular attribute of Allah. So he says, فَالْأَلِفُ مِفْتَاحُ إِسْمِ اللَّهِ وَاللَّامُ مِفْتَاحُ إِسْمِهِ لَطِيفٌ وَالْمِيمُ مِفْتَاحُ إِسْمِهِ مَجِيدٌ. So for example, in this Alif Lam Mim, they would say that Alif, it stands for the name Allah. Lam stands for Allah's name of Al-Latif, while the Mim stands for the name of Allah, Al-Majid. So, Allahu Latifun Majid, that Alif Lam Mim. This is one opinion which exists amongst some of the Mufassirin. وقال آخرون إنما ذكرت هذه الحروف في أوائل السور التي ذكرت فيها بيانا لإعجاز القرآن وأن الخلق عاجزون عن معارضته بمثله. He mentions here that there is another group of Mufassirin. So here, this is basically the fourth group so far. They are of the opinion that these letters which are mentioned at the beginning of the surahs, they come to show the fact that the Quran is unable to be copied. No one can bring about something like it. He says to show that the creation is unable to bring about something of a likeness to it. مع أنه مركب من هذه الحروف المقطعة التي يخاطبون بها. Despite the fact that the Quran, or rather that as you can say, yes, the Quran, it's made up of all these letters which we use, basically Alif, Lam, Mim, Dal, Lam, Kaf, everything, it's all our letters, it's all the Arabic language letters. The Quran is made up of all of this. Yet, despite that fact, people are unable to bring about something equal to it. So this is what he is saying here. حكاه الرازي عن المبرد وجمع من المحققين. This opinion has been reported by Imam al-Razi, and he reports it from al-Mubarrid and a group of the muhaqqiqin as well. وحكاه القرطبي عن الفراء وقرره الزمخشري ونصره أتم نصر وإليه ذهب الإمام ابن تيمية وشيخنا الحافظ أبو الحجاج المزي. He say of this same opinion, this same opinion has been reported by Imam al-Qurtubi, who reports it from al-Farra, and this has also been the opinion of Imam al-Zamakhshari, and he supported it in the highest of ways. And Imam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he was also of the same opinion, which is that these letters, Alif Lam Mim and so on, it comes to show that we are, as the creation, we are unable to bring about something like the Quran. And he say, likewise, our Shaykh, the Imam Ibn Kathir, who is speaking, Abu al-Hajjaj al-Mizzi, rahimahullah, who is one of the teachers of Imam Ibn Kathir, he says, he also is of the same opinion, like Imam Ibn Taymiyyah and these other ulama. Then he mentions, قال الزمخشري, ولم ترد كلها مجموعة في أول القرآن, وإنما كررت ليكون أبلغ في التحدي والتبكيت. Imam al-Zamakhshari, he says that all of this, you didn't open the Quran and just see Hamim, Alif Lamim, Alif Lamim, Sad, Sad, Qaf, everything one after the other. It didn't come like this at all in one place at the beginning of the Quran, but rather it came as a repeated time and again throughout the Quran. Why? So that it can be more of a rebuke and a challenge to the people. All the people who have doubt in the Quran, try to bring about something equal to it. That's basically what he is saying, why this has been mentioned so many times through the Quran, over and over and over again in different forms. He says, كَمَا كَرَّرَتْ قِصَصٌ كَثِيرًا. Like how many times stories are repeated in the Quran. And this is something which Imam Shah Waliullah Ad-Dihlawi rahimahullah, he speaks about actually in his Usul al-Tafsir. In that particular kitab of his, he speaks about why are certain stories mentioned time and time and time again, over and over in the Quran. For example, how many times doesn't the story of Shaitan being kicked out of Jannah, how many times doesn't that story come in the Quran? It doesn't just come once and it's over and done with. There's a story, go on your bike. It's not like that. It's mentioned time and time and time and time again. Likewise, the story of Musa alayhi salam and Fir'aun and Bani Israel and how ungrateful they were. All of this is mentioned time and again, over and over in the Quran. Allah mentions it a lot of times like this. So what he says that, okay, various ulama, they have various opinions, and obviously it's an opinion, so it's not like there is only one right answer. There are more than just one right answer. It's according to each of the ulama as they understood it to the best of their ability. So in any case, what is mentioned by some ulama is that they say the purpose is to, it's an important thing, so Allah mentions it a lot of times so that you can come to realize its importance. Because if something is mentioned just once, it slips past your mind, you forget about it. But if something is mentioned repeatedly over and over and over again, then it puts itself more firmly in your mind to know that this is something serious. You have to take a notice of it. That's one opinion. Other ulama say these particular stories mentioned over and over again, there was a specific reason. Obviously, when it comes to reasons of revelation, the particular reason why this ayat were revealed, there was something taking place at that particular time, as you can say, it refers to revealed in some particular context. That say, for example, the Jews were doing something, or the Muslims happened to, you can say they were through their the interactions with the Jews and the Christians. So to Allah mentioning that the stories over and over again to show to guide us so that we don't fall into the same problems that and the same traps and things that the Jews and the Christians had fallen into. Like they say, history often repeats itself. So Allah is guiding us by mentioning this over and over again so that history here in these cases does not repeat itself. And we can see this time and again. And that is in particular why, if you look at the stories in the Quran, you don't find stories about what happened in India or what happened in Africa or what had took place in America or the UK. Although America and the UK and all these places existed, Christopher Columbus didn't come along and then suddenly just made up America and things like this. The places were always there, and Allah had sent messengers all over the place. Yet there's no mention of it here in the Quran. The ulama explained that as well. Again, it's to benefit the people in the immediate vicinity. The Muslims, it was basically in Arabia, the Muslims, Jews, Christians, and of course the Mushrikeen. So these were the people you were being in contact with and things like this. So therefore, this was the focus point of Islam spreading over here. So therefore, Musa alayhi salam is mentioned time and again. Isa alayhi salam is mentioned time and again. Obviously, Isa alayhi salam and his mother, both to purify them from what the Christians attribute to them, and purifying the Anbiya alayhi salam from what the Jews attributed to them, and all of this type of things, the rejection of shirk and things like this, the various stories of Bani Israel, like this, to show that Jews may have been the chosen, the chosen creation basically at one stage in time, but then they, due to their evilness, Allah put them aside, and then Allah chose the Muslims. So there's a lot of reasons that the ulama give for the reason why this take place, but like I say, it's opinions of the ulama which they have mentioned according to their knowledge and their research. So it's not like only one just is correct. One Ali may say this, another one may say that. As long as it's, as you can say, in accordance to what we know from the Quran and the Sunnah, then there can be numerous of them that are correct. And obviously, these A'imah, they didn't speak things from their personal opinion that contradicts the Quran and Sunnah. So therefore we say, we accept all of their opinions, it's all possible that it is could be like how they say. Any case, so that is with regards to the reason behind the surahs and stories and these ayat being mentioned repeatedly throughout the Quran. Coming back, he says, وكرر التحدي الصريح في أماكن. Okay, and he says here, okay, that the challenge, explicit challenges, Allah has put down many times in the Quran, and we know this from the Quran. Allah challenged the kuffar that if you say, if you have any doubt about this Quran, or you say it's man-made or anything like this, then bring about a surah like it, bring about an ayah like it. Like this, Allah made the challenge easier for them the whole time, but they were never able, and they will never be anyone able to bring about something equivalent to the Quran. So he says that Allah repeats the challenges time and again. All of this is for a specific reason. He says, وَجَاءَ مِنْهَا عَلَى حَرَفٍ وَاحِدٍ مِثْلَ صَاد. Now he comes speaking back to the حُرُوفِ مَقَطَعَات, these alif lamim and these letters. He says, they come in this particular style of being one letter, like صاد, and you have noon, and you have قاف, like that. And he says, وَحَرَفَيْنِ مِثْلَ حَامِيم. They come as two letters, like حَامِيم, يَاسِين, طَهَا, and so on. And he says, وَثَلَاثَةٌ مِثْلَ أَلِفْ لَامِيم. And you have three, like أَلِفْ لَامِيم, عَيْن, سِين, قَاف, and so on and so forth, you have them. And then, وَأَرْبَعَةٌ مِثْلَ أَلِفْ لَامِيم صَاد. You have four letters, like أَلِفْ لَامِيم صَاد, or أَلِفْ لَامِيم رَا, and like that. And وَخَمْسَةٌ مِثْلَ كَاف, هَا, يَا, عَيْن, صَاد. They also come as five letters. For example, Kaf, Ha, Ya, Ain, Sad. So, these letters, they come either as one, two, three, four, or five letters. No more than that. He says, لِأَنَّ أَسَالِيبَ كَلَامَهُمْ مِنْهَا مَا هُوَ عَلَى حَرَفٍ وَعَلَى حَرَفَيْنِ وَعَلَى ثَلَاثَةٍ وَعَلَى أَرْبَعَةٍ وَعَلَى خَمْسَةٍ لَا أَكْثَرَ مِنْ ذَلِكَ. He says, because the style of their speech is that the letters are either made up of one, two, three, four, or five letters, not more than that. And this comes from the, as you can say, from the Arabic language perspective, that the original letters are either 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5. And if you find a word which has 6 letters or so on, then it's what is termed mazid fi. It's not the original, but it's mazid. It's an addition added onto the original. Or alternatively, it is a non-Arabic word which is being made into Arabic. Then these type of words you can find which have more than 5 letters. But the Arabic language comes either 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5 letters. So therefore, Allah has made this particular startings of the surahs like this, from 1 to 5, and not more than that. قال ابن كثير, ولهذا كل سورة كل سورة افتتحت بالحروف فلا بد أن يذكر فيها الانتصار للقرآن. Imam Ibn Kathir rahimahullah, he says, for this reason, every surah which starts out with these letters, فلا بد أن يذكر فيها الانتصار للقرآن. And this, what Imam Ibn Kathir is mentioning here, he's actually using it as proof to back up the opinion of Imam Ibn Taymiyyah, Imam Al-Mizdi, and the other ulama mentioned above, who said that when these Alif Lamim and other ayat like this, they come to show the fact that the Quran is cannot be imitated. So that's what Imam Ibn Kathir is mentioning now, is to prove that. He say, for this reason, you'll find whenever these letters come in the Quran, then you know, there's no way about it, you will always find that somewhere along the line in the, you will find there is an aid, something to do with the Quran that Allah mentions. وَبَيَانُ أَعْجَازِهِ وَعَظَمَتِهِ. Allah will mention that the fact that it cannot be recreated, and Allah will mention its greatness, and so on and so forth. And he say, وَهَذَا مَعْلُومٌ بِالْإِسْتِقْرَاءِ فِي 29 سُورَةً. And this you can know by reading the Quran, and it comes at 29 places throughout the Quran. So he says, for example, you read the ayah, أَلِفْ لَامْ مِيمْ ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. First, as you can say, first para, first juz, first, second surah basically. Alif Lamim, that book, there is no doubt in it. So, it's an aid to the Quran. Allah mention Alif Lamim, and then Allah begins to basically speak about the Quran, that the Quran, there is no doubt about the truthfulness, the authenticity, and the fact that the Quran is from Allah. That's this one surah. Then Allah mentions, for example, Alif Lam Mim, Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum. Again, Allah said, okay, it continues, Nazzala alayka al-kitaba bil-haq. For example, Allah says, Alif Lam Mim, Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum. Allah, there is no God besides Him. He is the all, He's the eternal and the everlasting. نزل عليك الكتاب بالحق. He has revealed the book, the Quran, upon you with the truth. So you see that the previous ayah, ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه. The kitab, obviously, the kitab always here refers to the Quran. So Allah mentioned Alif Lam Mim, and Allah mentioned the Quran. Now Allah mentioned Alif Lam Mim again, and Allah mentioned the Quran again. Then Allah says, for example, Alif Lam Mim Sad, Kitabun Unzila Ilayka. Alif Lam Mim Sad, the book which has been revealed to you. Again, mention of the Quran. Next ayah, Alif Lam Mim, Kitabun Anzalnahu Ilayka. Alif Lam Mim, the book which we have revealed to you. Again, another time, another surah. When Allah mentions these letters, Allah say, the book which has been revealed to you. Another ayah, Allah says, Alif Lam Mim, Tanzilul Kitab La Rayba Fi. Alif Lam Mim, the revelation, the revealed book, there is no doubt in it. Again, each time Allah mentions these letters, something or the other will come with regards to the Quran. Next ayah, Ha Mim, Tanzilu Min Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Ha Mim, a revelation from the most... for the most beneficent, most merciful. So every time Allah mentions like one of these letters, whether it's Alif Lam Mim, whether it's Sad, whether it's Noon or Qaf or anything, there will be some reference in the following ayat which will refer to the Quran, either establishing that the Quran is definitely from Allah, or establishing that there is no doubt about it, or praising it, or mentioning something of the sort to aid the Quran. This is the opinion of this ulama, and this is what Imam Ibn Kathir rahimahullah is also propagating over here. And this we can see from the Quran itself that it is correct, like they are saying. So therefore, it is a correct opinion. It's no interpretation. They're not interpreting and saying Alif Lam Mim means XYZ. They're just saying that when these things are mentioned, then it comes for this particular reason. In any case, he says, وَغَيْرِ ذَلِكَ مِنَ الْآيَاتِ الدَّالَةِ عَلَىٰ صِحَّةِ مَا ذَهْبَ إِلَيْهِ هَؤُلَاءِ لِمَنْ أَمْعَنَ النَّظَرِ. He says, and they are, so too you will find the rest of the ayat like this, whether it's Kaf, Haya, Ain, Sad, Ain, Sin, Qaf, all the other ayat as well, the same you will find that this opinion of these ulama, it is correct if you look at throughout the Quran and these various ayat. He then says, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابِ. So now we're finally done with Alif Lam Mim. Now he's moving on with the tafsir. He says, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابِ. If, for those who have attended the Arabic classes, you know, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابِ, it means that book. It's a directive pronoun, masculine directive pronoun for something which is far away. So, yeah, Allah says, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابِ, that book. Not this book, but that book. قَالَ ابْنُ عَبَّاسِ أَيْ هَذَا الْكِتَابِ. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas رضي الله عنهما, he interpreted it and he said, meaning, when Allah said, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابِ, it means this book. Then he says, وَالْعَرَبُ تُعَارِضُ بَيْنَ إِسْمَيِّ الْإِشَارَةِ فَيَسْتَعْمَلُونَ كُلَّ مِنْهُمَا مَكَانَ الْآخَرِ وَهَذَا مَعْرُوفٌ فِي كَلَامِهِمْ. He says, the Arabs, they use the directive pronouns in the, as you can say, basically back to front, to put it that way. They use that for this and this for that. And so they use it interchangeably. They use one in the place of the other. And this is known from anybody who knows the Arabic language. This is what he is saying. So this is one interpretation where they say, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابِ means a هَذَا الْكِتَابِ. Basically, if you were to read it, it would say, أَلِفْ لَا مِيمْ هَذَا الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. أَلِفْ لَا مِيمْ, this book therein, there is no doubt. This is how the one interpretation say. Other ulama, they give a different interpretation. They don't interpret it as being hadha al-kitab, but rather they keep it as being dhalika al-kitab. They again, they say that dhalika al-kitab, it's a direct, as you can say, directive from Allah to say, that book, that Quran, which is in your hands, it's Allah who is speaking and saying, that book there by you, there is no doubt in it. So, that's these ulama, they interpret it this way. And some other people have had other opinions. Okay, you will see this one here, he mentions, he'll continue on with this weak opinion, or rather, unaccepted opinion, rather to put it that way. He says, "Wal kitabu al-Qur'an." The kitab, the book which is mentioned in the ayah, it refers to the Quran. وَمَنْ قَالَ إِنَّ الْمُرَادَ بِذَلِكَ الْإِشَارَةُ إِلَى التَّوْرَاةِ وَالْإِنْجِيلِ فَقَدْ أَبْعَدَ النُّجَعَ وَأَغْرَقَ فِي النَّزَعِ وَتَكَلَّفَ مَا لَا عِلْمَ لَهُ بِهِ. He says, for those people who say that what is intended by the kitab here, it refers to the Torah or the Injil, then it's a very far-fetched hope that they expected to mean this. They've sunk basically in trying to extract such a meaning from it, and they have been burdened, they have burdened themselves with such a thing which they have no knowledge about. So, therefore, basically he's rejecting this opinion of those people. That's why what I was referring to now just a moment before, that there are some people who have a different opinion of that Dhalika al-Kitab. So they interpret it when they say Dhalika al-Kitab, that book. They say, not that book, meaning, like I explained, the one group of ulama who say that book which is in your hands, but rather this group, they say, that book, meaning which is in the hands of the Jews and the Christians. Thalika al-Kitab, ay thalika al-Tawrah, or thalika al-Injil, that Torah and that Injil. This is that opinion that Imam Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, is now rejecting. So they say, it's basically a very far-fetched thing which there is, a person who makes this claim is talking something which he has no knowledge about. So, as far as we are concerned, Al-Kitab here refers to the Qur'an. Then lastly he says, وَالْرَيْبُ أَشَّكُّ أَيْ لَا شَكَّ فِيهِ. It says, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. There is no doubt in it. Rayb, he says, means shak, and shak means doubt. أَيْ لَا شَكَّ فِيهِ, meaning there is no doubt in it. رُوِيَ ذَلِكَ فِي أُنَاسٍ مِنَ الصَّحَابَةِ or rather, رُوِيَ ذَلِكَ عَنْ أُنَاسٍ مِنَ أَصْحَابِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. This opinion of raid, meaning shak, that there is no doubt in the Qur'an, this has been reported from a huge, a gathering of the Sahaba radiyallahu anhum. They were all of this same opinion. And then he lastly says, وَقَالَ إِبْنُ أَبِي حَاتِمٍ لَا أَعْلَمُ فِي هَذَا خِلَافًا. Imam Ibn Abi Hatim, rahimahullah, he said, I don't know of there being any difference of opinion on this particular issue. Everyone's unanimous that rayb means doubt, the meaning that there is no doubt about the Quran. Okay, that's the end of page 27. Onwards to page 28. They just finish up this one last piece here. He says, وَقَدْ يُسْتَعْمَلُ الرَّيْبُ فِي التُّهْمَةِ. This word rayb, of doubt, it's also used in, as you can say, sentences of accusation. قَالَ Jamil, this is now again referring to old days poetry. Jamil said, بُثَيْنَةُ قَالَتْ يَا جَمِيلُ أَرَبْتَنِي فَقُلْتُ كِلَانَا يَا بُثَيْنُ مُرِيبُ. Buthayna, she said, oh Jamil, are you suspecting me? So I said, both of us, oh Buthayna, are suspicious. Okay, but you have to understand it in the context if you want to know the whole poem. But the purpose here is not the poem, but rather he's showing that the various usages of the word raib. So that's why he brought this poetry here. Why? Because when the even the Sahaba radiyallahu anhum and the Arabs, when they wanted to prove the meaning of a particular thing, they would refer to the poetry of Jahiliyyah. The poetry of the days of Jahiliyyah was when Arabic was, so to say, at its peak. To put it in a closest understandable form today, like in Shakespeare, a particular sentence is used in this particular way, or you you can find the first that in these old books of English they use a particular sentence this way, so therefore it's acceptable to use it in this manner. So this is the reason why they would reference this poetry like this. So anyway, he's not coming here to give you a story about Jamil and Busaina, but rather he's just trying to prove that the word raib can be used in this sense as well. And then lastly he says, وَاسْتُعْمِلَ أَيْضًا فِي الْحَاجَةِ كَمَا قَالَ بَعْضُهُمْ قَضَيْنَا مِنْ تِهَامَةِ كُلَّ رَيْبٍ وَخَيْبَرَ ثُمَّ أَجْمَمْنَا السُّيُوفَ. And he say it's also used in haja, in as you can say, for necessity, for need. Anyhow, so again, when it comes to the poetry parts of Tafsir Ibn Kathir, because he brings such a small piece of the poem, you don't know what the poem itself is about. And he's not trying to tell you what the poem itself is about. He just wants to bring one particular line, just the necessary portion, just again, like I say, to prove that the word has this and this and this sort of meaning. It has been used in this and this type of context. So therefore, it's acceptable to use it in this manner. That's basically all that he is saying. Okay, so that's basically the end of Raib. And inshallah, we will stop there on that point. Page 28, still on Surah Al-Baqarah. And inshallah, next week, we can continue on from the next part, which will be Wal Ma'ana and the meaning of this. And we will continue on with the tafsir. So until then, we will end on this point here. And we say, Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.